All right, good. That is good. Now, many of us have been reading through the Bible on a church schedule, and we have one more month this next month to finish up, and then we'll get a new one on Watch Night. And I wonder how many of you are still persevering with reading on schedule. Oh, look at that. That is good for those of you that have. If you haven't done that, we want to encourage you to get into that. I've done it for many years. It will really help you. And Watch Night, we get a new one. We have a church app with the schedule on it. We have a hard copy you can get from the office of our schedule. And start right now and finish up, and then you'll get a new one Watch Night. You know, we're entering the winter season. And it's a time here in Northeast Pennsylvania, we don't think of planting seeds in December. We don't think of growing crops this coming month. But the Bible says that you should sow and reap blessings in season and out of season. It says in 2 Timothy 4:2, preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. You know, sometimes there's a little lull after Thanksgiving, and attendance might be a little down on that Sunday after, but you know what? We're going to preach the word in season and out of season. And sometimes people are soft and they're ready to receive the message of the word of God from the Bible, and sometimes they're hard, like winter, and the soil is hard and frozen. But God says, if you are a preacher like Timothy, in every season you should seek to have a soft heart. And if you're a hearer, you should seek to have a soft heart, a member of the church or just somebody that came. And in every season, respond to the message of the Word of God. Winter, summer, springtime, fall. And so you should be faithful all the time to pray, to work, to win people to Christ. You should be faithful to do good things, to serve the Lord. And thankfully, there are a core of you here at Scranton Revival that have been doing just that through this whole year. As we enter the winter and snowy month of December, and winter starts in December, we're still going to be having big days. We're still going to be reaching out. We're still going to be serving the Lord right till the end and right in this winter time. And this morning, I'm going to read the text verse again that you just read. And here it is. And I will make them and the places round about my hill a blessing. And I will cause the shower to come down in his season. There shall be showers of blessing. And even though we're in the wintry season, God says there shall be showers of blessing. Ezekiel 34 and verse 26. And I'd like to give you four principles that have to do with God giving you showers of blessing. The first one I want you to notice from this verse, it says, notice verse 26, chapter 34, sorry. There shall be showers of blessing. God promises that if you are a believer in Christ, you're one of God's people, I will definitely guarantee in your life there shall be showers of blessing. You can count on it. I don't know what you're going through this morning. I don't know what you just went through, but you can count on it. There shall be in your future showers of blessing as we look forward to the new year and so forth. And these are words of hope for you this morning in your future. God doesn't make exceptions. He says, his people, you can count on it. Future, there shall be showers of blessing. So here is a promise for you to claim this morning. And maybe you're going through a wintry time in your life. You've had hardness of heart, people around you, and difficulty, and not much fruit and blessing. But God says there shall be showers of blessing. And maybe for the most part, you're praying certain things. And for the most part, you could say, my prayers are not being answered. My prayers are not being answered. People ask me, they said, did you get a deer yesterday? We've been praying for you, Pastor, to get a deer. And I did. I did. But it was not a D-E-E-R. It was a D-A-R, if you know what I mean. And what I'm saying is I was excited about getting a buck. I wanted a trophy buck, and I was all excited about it, and I had planned for it. And I went up to Nicholson at a neighbor of Matt's parents, and I just felt that's the place. Man, there's a buck there. You go inside his place, he's got racks all over. He told me there's 5 trophy bucks up there. And I was so excited about it. I've never been so excited. I don't know. I was just fired up. And I was all ready. I got my gun ready. I got the equipment ready and everything like that. And, you know, you get a thought. And I had Thanksgiving. My son was there. And I was telling him, oh, man, I've got a little indigestion. I wonder if that, I hope that's not, what do you call that? Whatever that is. In the heart, you know. And so my son's like, well, he never says that. And then before I went hunting, I thought, oh, what if I get shot up there? I got to make sure my wife knows all about the finances. And so I told my daughter, because she'd be good with finances, I told her, here's where this is, and here's where that is, and here's where I even have a burial fund. I'm self-insured. You could bury me. And I got the money, and it's all, I'm telling her where to get all this stuff, you know, and so my wife is hearing this, and my daughter and my son went up there to look at the place, and he didn't like the place, he thought it was shady, he didn't want to go up there. The guy is wonderful up there, by the way, nice guy, he helped me out so much, and we went up early in the morning, I got there at 4:52 a.m., I was dressed, ready to go for hunting, and we climbed that mountain, and I left my cell phone behind, I said, man, I'm a boomer. We don't need a cell phone. I don't want to be interrupted. I don't want that thing to go off because I didn't turn it off. Just leave it go. And I just went up there with them, and we're climbing the mountain. I mean, it was a big, high mountain that early in the morning. And I was dark. I couldn't see a thing. And I got my gear and my gun. I don't even have a strap on my gun, so I'm carrying my gun, and I'm trying to go up this mountain, you know. And he's shining the light back because he has a flashlight on his cell phone. He's shining it for me. But sometime he was trying to get up himself because he's got to go. And one time I hit this log because the light wasn't shining. Boom, I went flat down on my face. Hold the gun up. Boom. He says, man, are you all right? I said, I'm fine. I bounced back up. You know, I'm going up the mountain. And I walk an hour every day. I'm in good shape. You know, I climbed that mountain. I got to the top of the mountain. And he set me in a place that was the best place to get a buck. I am so excited. I'm there at 5 a.m. Got my gun there. And you know, a good deer hunter doesn't move. I stayed there all day. I stayed there. I said, I'm going to stay. But I did not see a deer. Not a doe. Not a fawn. Not a buck. I stayed there for 8 to 9 hours. Just stayed there. Because you're supposed to wait till that deer. I was so patient. And not just stay there. I was eagerly watching. Scanning everything, ready to go. I was sighting it in, and I was ready to go. Not a buck, nothing. Then as I'm getting later, the man came by. He was so nice, and he said to me, Randy, his name is Randy, Pastor, I guess. I'm Pastor Randy, he's Randy. And this is the best time. I mean, the best time's morning, but this is the second best time. As the night comes down, he said, I hunt right till dark, and then we'll go down. And I thought, oh, man, this is great. And I was like, I got to get up and go all day. I haven't moved. All of a sudden, I hear about an hour before I'm supposed to walk down, somebody's yelling, Randy, Randy, Randy. I said, that's my wife. That's her voice. And she kept going and going. And I found out later on that she was trying to run up the mountain. She had a red coat on. She had a nice fur collar, lipstick. She looked great. Her hair looked great. And she was trying to run that mountain. I'm telling you right now, she wouldn't have made it 25 feet up that mountain. Good thing my daughter tackled her almost and dragged her back. And I'm like, finally, it got so bad, to be honest with you. I'm sure the other Randy heard it. You know, he's just sitting tight. He didn't move. You don't move from your place. But I said, I can't. I got to go. I got to go down. She's, what is it? My mother died? I don't know. So I'm walking down the mountain, you know, and I get down there, and there she is, tears in her eyes. I thought you were dead. I said, well, what were you going to do? Take a rope here and drag me down? Like, she said, I thought you were dead. She said, you were giving Mindy all that stuff. And then she said, Brian talked to me and Mindy talked to me. And you know, we were talking about how you tried to get the money set up and did you have a premonition? And then the son didn't know the guy you're hunting with. He said, maybe he shot him and put him in a wood chopper because he chops wood. I'm like, and they're talking to one another until they got so psyched up, they actually drove all the way up to Nicholson to fetch me out of the mountain. So I didn't get a D-E-E-R. I got a D-E-A-R, a new appreciation for my dear. And, hey, I am thankful. Now, she feels really bad. She said, did I stop you from getting a deer? No, I don't think so. I just think it was time for me to go down, and perhaps I'll get one later on this year. But God says, I keep my promises. There shall be showers of blessing. There shall be showers of blessing. He promises it in your life. You can count on it. You can count on it because God is faithful. He's faithful. He brings us springtime, doesn't he? Summertime. We're now going into wintertime coming up this month. But you can count on it. God doesn't change. Great is thy faithfulness. Summer, winter, spring. God keeps his promises. And therefore, you ought to be encouraged. And the blessings that come from the physical showers come in the springtime. Well, the planting comes in the springtime, and the summer, at the end of summer, you reap the blessings. Now, a lot of times in Israel, there was famine. There was drought. They didn't get the showers. And that's because of sin. And sometimes God chastens us. Yes, he does that. And during that time, farm animals and people would go hungry. And that was a discouraging time. And people under the old covenant that were under the law of Moses, God withheld the showers. Now, he does it even under the new covenant. We're under the new covenant. Sometimes God chastens us by withholding showers of blessing in our life. But his desire is not to chasten you, not to withhold from you, but to give you his promises, especially because Jesus Christ is a better sacrifice than they had. He's a better hope, and we come to God, and the Bible says all of the promises of God are yea and amen in Jesus Christ. So when you come to God for showers of blessing, you can offer God the promise that he gave you, and then remind him that Jesus paid for those blessings with his own blood, as Mrs. Bajewski sang about this morning. He came here with the intent to give his life and his blood to purchase showers of blessing for you. And I'm thankful for the showers of blessing we're studying about in Romans. They don't change. They're great. But these are blessings in addition to that, that God pours out into your life. And you can count on them. God says, get this, there shall be, not maybe, showers of blessing. And many times I'll ask God for the power of the Holy Spirit to preach. I'll ask God for the power of the Holy Spirit to win people to Jesus Christ. And he's helped me to win somewhere around 330 people to Christ, or somewhere in that neighborhood thus far this year. And when you ask for the power of the Holy Spirit, God says in his word, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know. know that we have the petitions that we desire of him. 1 John 5, 14 and 50. I know that I pray in Jesus' name for showers of blessing, the spiritual blessings that God wants to give me. I know I'm asking according to his will so that his work can go forward. And therefore, I know that I'm going to get the petitions I desire. I might not have them right now, but I know he shall give me showers of blessing. And Jesus told the disciples, he said, now you're going to gather in a harvest of people getting saved and baptized and serving the Lord. He said, but I want you to wait in Jerusalem and I will give you the promise of the Father. There shall be showers of blessing of the power of the Holy Spirit so you can bring people to Christ because you can't do it your own strength. They waited for 10 days. They prayed for 10 days and the day of Pentecost came and the age of the Holy Spirit's power began so that they could bring people to Christ and get people saved. I'm saying showers of blessing. I think of the stuff that our church has gone through and folks have gone through. And I think about Miss Marilla that's here, Miss Awilda, and they prayed for their family for showers of blessing. And, you know, sometimes God does hard things in our life. He digs around that tree that the parable of Jesus was about, and he fertilizes it, and then he causes it to bear fruit. And I think about that in our lives, that sometimes we go through hard times and loss, but God says, I will bless in your life. I will answer your prayers and do things for you. So don't give up if you've been praying for things in your family. Keep on being faithful to God, because this morning I want to say to you, there shall be, it's a promise in your life, showers of spiritual blessing. And you will see it happen in your life. And I've seen it here in SRBC under Pastor Ware and in my own pastorate. I've seen five seasons. I believe we're now in a fifth season when we brought in a harvest, when it was unusual number of people being saved and baptized. But it doesn't matter if you're going through a great season where a lot of people are getting saved or nobody's getting saved. Just stay faithful, because the promise of God is, I will shower you. Same thing with tithes and offering. Keep giving. Keep giving tithes first, then offering, because God said there will be times I will shower the blessings down upon you just to show you that I like what you're doing and to encourage you in what you're doing. But there's the promise of God that you need to hang on to. I think of Hannah. She was barren. She didn't have one child, let alone many children. And she fasted and she prayed and she cried to God for blessings of a child, and God gave her a son, not just a son, but he became the greatest prophet of that time. His name was Samuel, and what a blessing. And then she had five more children. He showered her with blessings, and she had been barren. Let me tell you, let me encourage you. God says there shall be, not might be, not maybe, there shall be showers of blessing. You just stay with it. Even if you're going through a winter season right now, you stay with it and you'll see it. Not only that, there shall be showers of blessing, not only the promise of it, but notice secondly, there should be a preparation for it. You know, before we got into this church building, I was looking for baptisms, and we wanted to see more baptisms. And I looked at this building. It was a Presbyterian building. They didn't have a baptistry. They didn't have baptistry rooms. They had a big pipe organ right here. I said, I want to lead the church to sell the pipe organ. And we sold it. It was a Belgian pipe organ. It was a big, we got a lot of money for that. Sold it to a guy in Colorado. He wanted it for his mountain home. But I wanted to have baptistry. I wanted to have rooms there. I wanted to turn that in for soul winning. And I'm just saying, if you really believe God for good things, you will prepare for it. You will prepare for it. And you need, if you have faith, you need to treat it as though it's real and get ready for it. If you don't treat it as though it's real, I doubt you really have faith in God's word. But I believe God. I wanted it. And so I was preparing for people to get saved. Listen to me. I was preparing for people to get baptized. And I was leading the church to do that. And so there shall be showers of blessing. Believe God for them and make preparation to get those blessings. Now, right now we're going into winter, but we know that spring is coming, and it'll come March the 20th, and we know that, and a partial day, and then full day the 21st. We know April showers will fall, and then we know May will begin to be the flowery spring month where things warm up, and then sometime in May in northeastern PA, you can plant your garden. You can plant your garden. You can plant your tomatoes and plant your garden in northeastern PA. And we also know that is going to bring forth fruit. And so you make preparation for the fruit. And since it's true, before you plant in the spring, what are you going to have to do? You're going to have to plow up the ground. Plow up the ground. My dad had a rototiller, and my daughter was asking me whether I wanted the rototiller. He had a rototiller. My dad used to plow up his garden in the backyard. Every year he would grow these gigantic tomatoes. And every year he'd go to church and give the tomatoes away to all the ladies in the church. He loved to give them away to people in the church so families would have tomatoes. And he grew these great big tomatoes. And that's what you have to do. If you want to have a garden, you got to plow up the ground to get that. Now, God says if he is going to bless us and bless our church and bless your life and bless your family with spiritual blessings, you better prepare for it. And here's what God said in Jeremiah 4, verse 3, "For thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and sow not among thorns." So, what is in your life that when God pours out revival blessings upon you, that you're not ready for it? You need to dig the thorns of sin out of your life. You need to get a soft heart. You know, we have men's prayer meeting, and when Jesse's there, he prays for a soft heart. And that's a good thing, a soft heart, soft toward rebuke, soft. The Bible says reprove, rebuke, exhort with all. If you can't take rebuke, it doesn't enter into your heart. You don't have a soft heart. You need your heart to be softened by the Holy Spirit, by the preaching of the Word of God, by reproof and rebuke, and God will soften your heart. I remember as a young Christian in this church, somebody would say something I had wrong in my life, and it would go right into my heart, and it was a soft heart, and I would repent, and I would seek to get it right. But many times hearts get hard, and we're just worried about what people think of us and not worried about God. You know, repentance isn't being sorry for the consequences of your sin and crying over that and crying over the social ramifications of what you've done wrong. Real repentance is you're sorry to God. And you feel a sense of great sorrow that you sinned against not just law, but rather the love of God that he's given to you. And it goes into your heart, and that's real repentance, my friend. Are you perfecting that work of repentance? Are you praying for that work of repentance? Are you mourning over your sin before God and turning from it? If not, my friend, you're not preparing for the showers of blessing that he wants to send upon this church. And I don't want to miss out when the rain falls and my ground is hard and when the seed of the word falls and my heart doesn't receive it. Oh, no, don't you be like that. The Bible says concerning revival and blessings, it says, "Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground. For it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you." You see, that's the preparation of your heart for God's blessings in pouring out his blessings? Are you preparing your heart for, I believe, the blessings that God wants to give us this year? I believe the blessings that God promises to give us. And if God promises there shall be showers of blessing, then that means you and I, if we believe God, we need to prepare for them. We need to prepare it in our bus ministry. We need to prepare it in our families. We need to prepare it in our life. But you've got to prepare your heart for the showers of blessing. But there's a third thing I see in Ezekiel 34, verse 26. Notice he says there, "And I will cause the shower to come down in his season." In his season. You know, we are in the wintry season. But what is the season for showers? Well, it's in our place here, it's April. You've heard of April showers bring Mayflowers, and Mayflowers bring pilgrims. I'm sure you've heard that one. That's an old one. But anyway, April showers bring Mayflowers. And so you're going to have showers that come in April. It's not going to come in December, although we may get snow showers if Brother Joe doesn't have his way. We may get snow showers in December, and they help with that. It's all part of it. I lived in Florida, and in Florida, in January, we walked out our front door, and there was a lime tree full of limes growing, and there was a lemon tree full of lemons, and I'd make limeade every day and lemonade every day and drink that in January and walk out, cut the grass, you know. And that's when I lived in West Palm Beach, Florida, back in the day. But they had a rainy time, and their time was in September. It was the rainy season in the month of September. And that's when they had their showers. And Israel has their particular showers. So what God is saying here is there is a periodicity of showers. Not only the promise of them, the preparation, but the periodic showers, periodicity. You have them every year, and they're going to fall, and they're seasonal. So God has a season when he's going to bless you with showers of blessing. So here in this verse, God is encouraging you, stay with him. Stay doing his will for your life, even in the dark times, even in the dry times, even in the difficult times. Stay with God. Stay with his will, because just as surely as there will be winter, spring will come, then summer, and then harvest time. And listen, those seasons are sure to come, and so are the showers of blessing, but they come in a season that God has for them. God has a season to pour out his blessings in your life. That's why the Bible says in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not." See, in due season. God has a season of preparation, plowing, planting. God has a season when he brings the rains, and then he showers you with rain so that you can be showered with blessings at the end of summer in the harvest time. And that's in due season. Just like Matt's dad, he was cutting wood yesterday. I was up there hunting in the mountain. I could just hear his dad all day. He's just working on that wood, cutting that wood, cutting that wood. And, people that burn wood for their heat, if they don't cut wood in the summer, they're going to bake in the winter, right? They're going to freeze. And or buy wood that somebody cuts. You got to buy the wood and get it. And so there needs to be preparation, because periodically God will pour out his blessing. But if you're not prepared for the blessing, oh, that's not good. You know, we just went out and got a third bus, and we not, may not have filled it yet, but we're prepared for when God pours out the blessing, you see, in his season. We're prepared. We're getting the building ready so we can be prepared when God pours out his blessing, expanding the ladies' bathroom downstairs, you know, cutting down the tree in the front and dealing with the door over there, getting rid of that extra door. We're getting the building ready, getting the barn ready. What? To bring in the harvest of people. And you and I need to be preparing for the blessing. We've got the promise of it, the preparation of it, and we need to know it comes at a certain period of time, and there is that periodicity of blessing. But then fourthly, there is the pouring out of blessing. Notice what he says, "For I will cause the shower to come down in his season. There shall be showers of blessing." You see, God knows how to shower us with blessings. I've had that financially, and remember Joseph in the Bible, there was 5 years, or 7 years, I'm sorry, of plenty. And what did Joseph do? He knew that was a time of pouring out, but there was going to be 7 years of famine. So he had the grain stored. They didn't eat up all the grain in those 7 years of plenty and live like they were going to be rich forever. No, they saved it up. They saved up the grain. It hadn't been milled yet, so they could save it for the time when it would be needed for bread. And the 7 years of famine came, and he was ready for it. You see, what I'm saying to you is that blessings are poured out by God. And you need to know that you need to wisely use those blessings. If it's financial blessing, you better not spend all your money, but have it saved up for things that you need to save up for. And I think about spiritual blessings. And Jack Hiles had prayed and fasted for the power of the Holy Spirit in his ministry down in Texas. And he was filled with the Holy Spirit and began to preach. And people started getting saved in one church after another in Texas. Then he was called up to Hammond, Indiana, just outside of Chicago. And he started having people saved one after the other. And what a blessing it was. I think of Billy Sunday. He came to this area. And he came here and had a tent meeting for about 6 weeks, starting in March of 1914, 25% of the people of Scranton were saved. The population was over 100,000. 25% of the whole city came forward and professed faith in Christ. 10 years later, 80% of those 25% were serving the Lord in local churches. This was known for prostitution. This whole area, the red light district, was on Lackawanna Avenue. That was all shut down. This area was known for bars. All the bars were shut down. I mean to tell you, God blessed under Billy Sunday. We have prayed and said, God bless to this local church. God turn this area into a veritable Bible Belt. And so we have prayed, and here's what God says about showers of blessing and pouring them out. God says in Psalm 102 verse 13, "Thou shalt arise," that's when God stands up to bless, "and have mercy upon Zion, for the time to favor her, yea, the set time has come." What's the set time? That's the time when God decides, okay, you've prayed for these blessings, you've waited on me for these blessings, okay, now it's my time, I am going to pour them out upon you. That's why when you plant a seed in a garden, do you wait a week and then dig it up if it doesn't grow? You shouldn't do that. That would be stupid. You wait because you know that thing is going to grow, and you expect it to grow and you prepare for it to grow. And when it grows, you're so thankful. And there is a time, listen to me, when God just doesn't give you mercy drops. I mean, thank God for mercy drops. Mercy drops round us are falling. But for the showers we plead. I'm talking about the pouring out of blessing. I'm talking about revival in prayer. Revival in answered prayer. Revival in lives changed and hearts changed and people getting saved. And the good things that God wants to give us. That is what we're talking about. There shall be showers of blessing. God says that you can count on the pouring out of those blessings. Now, some people said, well, we shouldn't worry about temporary pouring out of blessings. We should just want to live consistently a little bit at a time. Pouring out is temporary. It doesn't last. Well, it may not last, but if you use it for good, it will be profitable. Here's what the Bible says in John 15:16. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should what? Remain. When God pours out financial blessing on me, I just don't spend it up. I say, God, now what do you want me to do? Who do you want me to give this to? What do you want me to do with this? What should be saved for the future? And so on and so forth. The blessing, the pouring out is temporary, but the fruit remains from these showers of blessing. We've had harvest times in our church, and thank God people remain from our big days. Amen? They remain from the work that we're doing. And so this life is temporary. But the blessing, you need revivals. Why? Because the blessings remain. There shall be showers of blessing. That's the promise of God. Therefore, there shall be times of preparation, and you should respond and prepare. You can count on it being periodic, periodicity of revival. And then notice the pouring out. When the blessings come, there's the pouring out. I'd like to add a fifth, if I could. Fifth, notice the productivity of these blessings. Look at Ezekiel 34:26 again. He says, and I will make them and the places round about my hill a blessing. You say, what hill is he talking about there? The hill of Zion. He's talking about the city of Zion, the country of Zion. What is that? Israel. What is that? The New Jerusalem. I am a Christian Zionist. Why? Because Zion is in the Bible. I do not spiritualize away Zion. Zion is God saying this is going to happen literally during the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. He is going to bless Zion. Jesus is going to stay right in the temple there and reign as the king upon his throne from his holy hill. Not in America, not in Russia, not in Tucker Carlson's hometown, in Israel. I'm a Zionist because God's a Zionist. He loves Zion. It's a special place, a holy place, the Holy Land. Now, thank God in the church age, every place is holy that you walk on, you serve God, but still God has a Holy Land, Zion. And he says, oh, I am going to pour out my blessing. And that's why I prepare for it right now to talk to you about it. Zion is going to come. Now, that's also talking about the Temple Mount. By the way, there's going to be another temple up there. You can mark it down. You could take it to the bank. There's going to be a temple up there. And you know, there have been times on Zion that have been times of blessing. But there have also been times of sadness, of chastening. I think of 586 BC when the Babylonians came down and took the babies by the feet and dashed them against walls, their heads, and went in and took the women and raped the women and killed the men and killed the old men and went in there and took the people captive and burned down the temple. That was not a good time. 586 BC. But then there was a time when God brought the people back under Joshua, the high priest, and Zerubbabel, and they rebuilt that temple, and wow, there was Nehemiah, built the wall, and that was a great time. And then Herod expanded it, and it was a blessed time. But then AD 70, the Romans came down and did the same thing the Babylonians did. This time they scattered the people of Israel all over the world. They went everywhere in the world. And that land has been sad for a long time. But God says there's going to be a time and Israel is going to get all excited when they win the Psalm 83 war. They see Jeremiah 49, 2 come to pass, and Zephaniah 2, 4 through 7. All these scriptures, they're going to be fulfilled. Israel's going to expand their borders. They're going to have peace, take down their walls. Then Russia's going to invade with Turkey and with African nations and with Iran and so forth. But then God is going to smash that, and Israel will celebrate. They'll have their temple, but then they'll make peace with the revived Roman Empire, the European Union, and they'll have their temple. The worship will be going on their temple, and the beast will have the Jewish Antichrist will put up an image of the Gentile beast in the Holy of Holies in that temple. That temple will be desecrated. There'll be a great persecution, a great tribulation, a time of sadness. That temple will be destroyed, apparently, during the day of the Lord or somewhere in there. I'm just talking to you about showers of blessing, and I'm saying there's productivity because there's going to be another temple. It's mentioned in Ezekiel 40, and it is going to be humongous. That whole area is going to be humongous. I take it literally there, and it is going to, listen, when that temple is built, the whole world is going to be blessed. Isn't that what God is saying here in Ezekiel 34, 26, and I will make them and the places round about my hill a blessing. But you know what? We're now living in the church age. You're now a member of Scranton Revival Baptist Church, or you're attending Scranton Revival Baptist Church. Do you believe that God has showers of blessing for us? I do. I do believe he has it for a church that's a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church. I believe he has it for families. I believe he has it for Christians. And listen to me, when he blesses you, there is productivity all around you. You bless others around you. When you're blessed with revival, you bless others around you. When you're backsliding and you're walking away from God, it's sad. It's not productive. It's not good. You do more harm than good. But thank God, when you're walking with God, you are a blessing. You know what? I have a vision that this church would live for God and that we would have godly marriages, homes, lives, schools, and that you would not be a grief to your family, that you would not be a grief to people around you that invest in you, but a blessing. And that you would lead others to want to get what you got and to want to come and find out the source of blessing. That's what God wants. That's what he wants for Israel. That's what he wants for Zion. But that's what he wants for the church, because we're living in the church dispensation. That's what he wants for you. That's why you're here. Or he could have taken you out of here and put you in heaven. You might be going through a hard time, but God is preparing you to fulfill his promise and to pour out his blessing upon you. He does this periodically, and he wants you to realize he wants you productive for him. I'm so glad that's his plan for my life, for your life, for our church, for your family. And let us lay hold of Ezekiel 34, 26 and claim that promise and prepare for it, okay? Let's bow for prayer. Every head bowed. We've been talking about there shall be showers of blessing. And I wonder if you can take this verse and put it to your heart. 1 Corinthians 15:58. It says, therefore, my beloved brethren, since there's going to be these showers, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I'm glad we got people here that help us out for fellowship dinners and music ministry and secretarial work and treasury work and all the ministries, and certainly the soul winning that everybody should. I'm so glad, because it is not in vain in the Lord. God promises, even if you're going through a hard time, stay with it. Don't quit. Stay with it, because there shall be showers of blessing. I wonder, maybe you're a believer here today and you say, "Preacher, I sometimes get discouraged and I forget that, and I am going through a hard time. When I go through a hard time, I pull back. But I'm going to be faithful in season, out of season. At least I'm going to make a commitment to God to surrender, to be faithful in season and out of season, and trust Him for the showers of blessing." If you're a believer and you know you're going to heaven and you want to make that surrender to God today, would you raise your right hand and say, "I'm going to be faithful. Showers of blessing or not showers of blessing, I'm going to be faithful because God's faithful." Amen and amen. Thank God for those of you that see what I'm talking about and you are surrendering to make that a practice in your life. I wonder if there's somebody here, you say, "Preacher, I couldn't raise my hand because I'm not 100% sure I'm saved. I'm not 100% sure I'm going to heaven. I would like to be sure, but I'm not. But I want prayer that I would know for sure that I'm a saved person, that I'm going to be in heaven, because I really can't say that right now." If you need prayer for that, would you raise your right hand? I'll see it. Just put it up and down, and I'll pray for you that you can be sure that you're going to heaven. All right. I see that hand. You can put it down. Anybody else? I see that hand. Thank you. You can put yours down. I see it. Anybody else? A couple people. Yep. Another person raised their hand. "I'd like to be sure. I'm not 100% sure. I would like to be sure." And I'm going to pray for you. But before I pray for you, would you just the people that raised their hand that weren't sure they're going to heaven, would you just look at me for a moment? Just put your head up for a moment and just look at me. Everybody else is bowed for prayer. But if you raised your hand, just raise your head. Yeah, just look at me for a moment. I believe you're not here by mistake today. God brought you here either on the bus or you came. You're here because God has a gift to give you, and that gift is a home in heaven. A lot of people think going to heaven is something you work for, something you deserve. No, just look right at me. You don't work for it, you don't earn it. It's a gift. And who paid for that gift? Only one person could pay. It wasn't Santa Claus, wasn't your parents. It's God. He came as Jesus and was born as a baby, and He lived a life on earth that never sinned so He could die for our sins. He was buried, He rose again, and now He says, "I have a gift," but you have to receive that gift. And you say, "How do I receive it?" You receive it by faith in Jesus. That means you've never seen Him, you've never seen heaven, but you believe His promise that He says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." That means put your trust in Jesus to take your sins and to take you to heaven as a free gift. You don't deserve it, but believe that He's offering it to you because He says it in the Bible. It's a true offer. And would you just bow your head for a moment and tell the Lord, I wanna tell you, I know I'm a sinner, I deserve to go to hell, but I believe your promise that you died and rose again so I could go to heaven, and put your faith in Him. Would you do it today? And then we want to see you afterward and talk to you, to help you with that decision. All right, I'm going to ask that we stand together, and I'm going to give the invitation to believers, first of all, to come to the altar and say, "Lord, I'm surrendering to be faithful in season, out of season. I'm surrendering not to be weary in well-doing, not to give up, but believing that you have showers of blessing. I'm going to stay with it, and I'm going to trust you for the times when you bless and pour out your blessing. Even when people backslide, even when people go away, you need to be faithful. You need to stay with God. Even when hard hearts come and wintry times come, you need to be faithful and stay with God." And if you're here and you raised your hand, listen, and you put your faith in Jesus to save you, why don't you come and I'll have my hand out. You can take my hand and I'll have someone pray with you and talk to you about your decision to trust Jesus Christ to be your Savior. We want to help you with that decision today. He is offering you the greatest gift that ever could be given. and that is eternal life. Praise God for that. Remember, though, his promise, there shall be showers of blessing. He promises it. Prepare for it right now. He'll pour it out. He does it periodically, and it will produce great blessing. And so we can count on God to do great and mighty things if we pray and seek God for it. All right, let's bow for prayer. I'm going to ask every head bowed and every eye closed. Our Father in heaven, I thank you that you're faithful in the good times and in the bad times, in the spring, in the summer, in the winter, in the fall. Lord, therefore, today I surrender to be more faithful at all times, knowing that I can be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in your work, because your work is not in vain. It's in the Lord, and it, you never fail, Lord. God, I pray you'd help us to live those kind of lives and to be those kind of people, and that we would be prepared for you to shower upon us good things, and we believe you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right, you may be seated. Encourage you, 7 o'clock tonight, and we said we would give the kids candy. We have three of them. Brother Matthew, Chloe, come on up. Chloe, you got it. All right, is she on your bus or? Amen. All right, Chloe, which one do you want? All right, she got it. All right, we got two more left. One of the bus captains or workers? Yes, ma'am.